Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lencioni. I'm your host today. I'm joined by the regular crew of Cody Thompson. Hey, Cody.
Hey.
Tracy Noble.
Hey there, hey, Pat.
Tracy, you're sitting in the little chair today. Looks like a child's chair. It's very low. And Matt Lencioni. How you doing, Matt?
Good.
So, Cody, what's our topic today?
It is understanding discernment.
That's right. We're going to actually dive in for the first time into one of the six types of working genius that is probably the most layered and complex or nuanced. Really important to understand this, and it's going to be fun to take it apart.
And I think it's actually one of the most fun to talk about for that reason. It's definitely layered, and it's got all these sort of interesting nuances. And even as we spent time sort of crafting the assessment and describing what people are like with this, it seemed like the most fun one because there's all these little crevices and crannies that you kind of have to explore to understand it.
And it's not something you see somebody doing it externally or physically and you go, they're good at that. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think actually when we came up with the model, this was one of the more important discoveries, is that teams really need this genius. And some people have it, some people don't, and that's fine. But if a team is lacking it, or if a person is lacking it and they're not going to others to help them with it, they can really miss out.
Yeah, and it's related to a couple podcasts ago when we talked about the three stages of work, you know, earlier on in this podcast, because it's the first stage of the activation thing, where that we've talked a lot on this podcast about the loop between invention and discernment, where it's this sort of refining process of ideas or initiatives. And it doesn't happen. I think one of the main distinctions we try to make when we talk about this with people is that it's not about industry expertise or not area expertise.
Yes. If a person doesn't have discernment, it doesn't mean they're not smart or wise. It just means, or it doesn't mean they're not knowledgeable. In fact, some people will say, but I have great discernment. I'm an expert in my field and I know all the data, so I can discern any question you ask me. And that's not what we mean by discernment. What do we mean
intellect.
By discernment? Right, Tracy.
Well, for discernment, I would say it's more about intuition and instincts more than anything.
Right. Gut feel,
yes.
Pattern recognition, being able to process lots of variables. It's not linear.
That's right.
You can't really explain it. It's a person that just, they have a really good sense. And oftentimes we don't know why. Mm-hmm. And yet it's demonstrated over and over again. And we've talked many times about Tracy here sitting in the little chair and having great discernment. And what's the evidence of that? Whenever we make a decision about just about anything at work or in our lives, we turn to Tracy and say, what do you think? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's not something she has expertise about, but she has really good judgment and intuition about what we ought to do. And when Tracy says, I feel really good about this, all of us feel very confident that it's the right thing.
Yeah, and I love when people come to me and ask for my opinion. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Right.
And it's often about things I know nothing about.
Right.
But I love offering my opinion because I could just see things and figure it out and I get it in my gut.
Right. How many houses have you bought in your life, Tracy? Two?
Two.
Right. Yes. Yet when we buy a house, and not that this happens very often, if Laura and I are doing that, she doesn't say, go ask Tracy. She's bought tons of houses.
Right.
She just says, ask Tracy what she thinks, because we know Tracy's going to go, my gut tells me this is not a good decision, or this feels really good.
That's
and
right.
We value that. And we've been doing this for 24 years at the table group. Mm-hmm. And I've been counting on your intuition, your discernment for a lot here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also something really interesting that goes on where when you have more than one discerner in a conversation, that it's sort of additive. Like,
yes.
Like, so I work really closely with Tracy and mm-hmm. you were out a week ago or two weeks ago. And I legitimately felt like I was flying blind on a few things. Because like I have discernment too, but when I would think something and then Tracy would confirm it, it was like, oh, okay, there we go. We have the answer for this. And so it was like the second part of my brain was missing. And there's some additive level of when a couple discerners are agreeing on whether this will work or not work, then you're on the right track.
Right. And I think that you're right. The people that have discernment value other people's discernment mm-hmm. too, especially if they're in another area. Like mm-hmm. I'm at invention and discernment. But when I'm inventing, I need somebody who's really focused on, when I'm writing a book, Tracy is my editor, mm-hmm. not a copy editor, not looking for typos. She's the one who reads it and goes, this doesn't make sense. Or I really like this character, or I don't like this character. And I don't think that's how he should be. I really trust that. So when I'm inventing, I need her discernment to kind of complete the picture.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite time of year when you're writing a book. In fact, you're writing one now.
That's right. But you're so busy. I know we're storing up a lot of editing right now. I know. And so this is one of those things that if you don't have it, Now, some people struggle with that at first because the word discernment seems like just a generally positive thing. Like, do you have good judgment in life? And what we mean by this is not, you know, discipline and good common sense, but do you have that instinctual, intuitional ability? And some people just don't.
Yeah. I find it interesting that a lot of the teams and companies that we work with or that we've rolled this out to, they seem to contrast data and intuition as if they're fully separate.
Right.
And they're not. I mean, discerners use data, but they don't let data be the primary driver of the decision-making process. It's informative, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas people who may not have, if a whole team doesn't have discernment, they might overly rely on data as the decision-making sort of resource that they have.
You know, that's so funny because in my career, and I think in my personal life as well, when somebody shows me data, but it doesn't make sense to me, I'll say, I don't believe that data. And they'll go, what do you mean it's data? But sometimes it's true. It's like you look under the covers and I trust my gut much more than I trust numbers.
Statistics. I've been that way too. And it's so funny because the reaction is so stark. It's not that I distrust all data.
No.
I just distrust any data that doesn't seem to match what my intuition says.
Exactly.
And I'm fine to be proven wrong, but that's also part of the process is to go, oh, okay, there must be more variables here that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why it's that sort of the layered pattern recognition. And if there's one outlier, you're going to hone in on the outlier and go, until I rectify that thing is an outlier, either I need to rectify it, otherwise it's not going to sit well with my intuition. Exactly.
And teams need people with discernment because data alone doesn't tell the story. Mm-hmm. We talked to somebody recently, Cody, right, that they had an entire executive team and almost everyone on the team had discernment as one of their working frustrations, their lowest areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do they try to overcome that?
They collected a lot of data. And as a result, I think, and the other thing that discerners like doing is making decisions because they think like, okay, I'm going to help us make this decision because I think I have good judgment about what the right answer is.
Right.
But if you don't have it, they were paralyzed about what decision should we make? We need more data to figure out what decision we should.
You know, what's so crazy about that is we have our entire company. We all have D in either our genius or working competency. And we play this game here and we guess at everything. We go around and we say, what do you think? What do you think? And oftentimes we're not experts in it. And we're typically
pretty darn close.
Pretty darn close.
And I think that's because I have discernment.
Yes.
And I worked at a management consulting firm where everything was data. And half the time I'd go, well, you can kind of look for data and define it in a certain way to say what you want. And so I was always wanting to use my gut. And they were like, no, we don't do that here.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when we have to make a decision, I'm like, well, we could go do 6 weeks of research. But how about this? Everybody write down what you think the answer to this problem is, how much we should charge for this, or how many people will buy this, or how many of our clients would find this useful. And I'll have everybody guess. And oftentimes people are like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, just guess. And we'll read everybody's answers and we'll find that we're really close and we're all thinking the same thing. And I'm really comfortable with that as a high level of confidence that we're going to get the right answer.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so critical. Like we could have called this something like the discernment revolution or the intuition revolution, because I think we need to acknowledge on our teams that we work with and who understand working genius that this is not really that observable or provable, and it's entirely true.
Right.
And if we are suspect of that, or if we're just not convinced that that can possibly be the right thing, that there are people who are uniquely gifted at giving feedback or knowing whether something is going to work or not work, then you're kind of at a loss.
Exactly. You know, the other thing is if you have somebody on your team that has discernment and you don't tap into it and you don't trust them, that's why the working genius is so powerful. It's like, get people to do this, find people on your team that have high levels of discernment and ask them frequently, like, what is your gut telling you? They're going to be like, I love when people ask me that. Mm-hmm. But when you're on a team and people go, well, I don't trust it unless you show me a bunch of data, they wilt.
Well, and I find it really interesting of the teams. I think the more you get up in the executive team level, it can kind of get a little harder for people to be vulnerable around the fact that maybe they don't have discernment, that it didn't fall into their top category.
You know how much I admire CEOs that I work with that go, I don't have discernment.
Yeah.
And I really need Sally because she really does.
Totally.
Or I really tap it in. And I think that's such a testament to their humility and wisdom that they're okay admitting that, because if you pretend you have it and you don't, your organization is going to have big problems.
Well, and this is so funny. One of the first few CEOs we told is our friend Sangram, remember? And
you remember
his response was,
I loved it.
He was like, oh my gosh, it says I don't have discernment here. That makes so much sense. the other day I went out and I bought this vehicle and I brought it home. And my wife, who has discernment, was like, why did you get this Jeep truck? And he was like, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing.
It's neither a Jeep nor it's a truck. It's kind of ugly too. I like Jeeps, but I don't think this is a very attractive vehicle. Right. And he's like, you're right. I had bad judgment.
Yeah.
And I love it when people can say that kind of stuff.
And I will say the other, so at the executive level, this can be tough. The other place that we're finding this being a harder conversation to have is in the sort of faith-based church world, because discernment is this big word that has a whole bucket worth of meaning in that context, where people think, oh, if because they study the Bible or there's this like wisdom element to it. And it's hard in that context for people to realize like, oh, that's not the same as having expertise in what it means in spiritual life or scripture and being able to point people in the right direction. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily have discernment. It means that you might have some wisdom or expertise as it relates to scripture.
That's just a different word.
Mm-hmm. You know? I don't think that just applies with the Christian world. I think that applies with any field where people gather expertise in any type of career. If somebody spends a lot of time doing one thing and they have a lot of expertise related to that, they might, it's a good chance they think they have discernment just because people look to them for advice in that field.
Yeah. Right. And then if you could say, how about stuff you don't know? Are you a pretty good guesser at that? Could you figure something out with almost no information? And that's a better question.
Yeah. It's funny. One of the, I'm sorry, my brother listens to this podcast and sometimes I roast him on this podcast.
Hey, this is your opportunity. Time to
time. But he's a great guy. But one of the ways I try to explain this to people is my brother, who loves being outdoors and is great at all adventure related activities. He's like a great skier and he worked at the North Face and knows all this stuff about gear and anything you need outdoor. And so I always tell people like, so if you go to my brother, let's say you have a couple sets of skis and you're going on a ski trip and you think, I need to talk to someone about another set of skis that I want to buy. And if you go to him, he'll tell you all about what ski you should buy because he has industry expertise. He'll be like, what kind of skiing are you doing? And what's the snow like? And are you going to be out of bounds or are you going to be on the piste or whatever? And I was like, that's industry expertise. But if he had good discernment, he might say, his first question might be, are you sure you need another set of skis?
Right.
And that's a little different because you're like, you're putting your own judgment into that thing. It's not just expertise.
It's a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt, remember you and Tracy when we were coming up with the questions for the assessment and how so many, we really worked hard to make these questions specific to discernment. Because if you just go up to somebody and say, do you have discernment? They say yes. And if they knew that we were asking them a question about discernment, people were answering, yes, yes, yes. And we knew people who had no discernment as it was demonstrated in their life, and they were answering. So we really tweaked these questions hard.
In fact,
hard.
My son was part of our test. He was a guinea pig for us. And I love him to death. He does not have discernment. And he kept on testing really high in discernment. And it's because he was misunderstanding it as having expertise.
Right.
Well, because he's really smart.
Right.
Yes. He's really smart.
He's smart, but it was crazy how he was misinterpreted.
But he doesn't have the D.
Yeah. And like you were saying, before we refine the questions to really get at the heart of the issue, it sounded like we were asking, are you smart?
Correct. And that's not what this is. It's right. Not about intellect.
Not at all. Not at all. And it's a great thing because when you talk to somebody who has discernment, we have somebody in our company who has discernment and she does not have a lot of school background or even knowledge in our area. And I said to her recently, it's like, you really have good judgment around these things. Mm-hmm. Where did you get that? She's like, I guess I have discernment, which is wonderful because that's something you want to tap into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what discernment is. And it's okay not to have it as long as you tap into other people to do. If you do have it, it's really nice to be recognized for that because you'll get asked to use it a lot. You know, we do something on our podcast that we're going to start doing again, and that's we're going to do commercials, unpaid commercials for fun things that we like to talk about. And today we're going to do a fun commercial for a company, but it's a little bit self-serving. Cody, what's our commercial for today?
Yeah, so Clear Channel, and to reiterate, no one pays us to do this. Clear Channel is a airport billboard advertising agency.
Well, and they have billboards everywhere.
Right, right, yeah. And we just happened to engage them just the last couple months because we put billboards for The Working Genius in 6 different airports across the country.
And Clear Channel was good to work with.
They were great. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we tell you this so you can know that there are billboards for Working Genius in Oakland, San Francisco, Denver, Nashville, Midway, Chicago, and Atlanta. And so we'd love to hear, take a picture, send it to us if you see one of these.
Yeah, if you're traveling and you come across, we send it to podcast@tablegroup.com because we'd love to see them. We have a few photos already and we're kind of geeking out over them. And while you're there, scan the barcode and go to the Working Genius website. So
that's right. By the way, there's something else we want to tell you, and that is if you're thinking about gifts for people for graduation, giving them a Working Genius assessment is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's better than tie, better than cologne. It's going to help them if they're getting out of job, getting out of school and taking a job, even if they're getting out of high school and they're going to college. Mm. Understanding their geniuses might very well help them figure out whether, you know, biochem is the thing they want to do versus and for, creative writing.
And for a quarter of the cost of one of those luau necklaces that has dollars imprinted into it, you could tell them what they should do with their lives. You know,
and it takes 15 minutes to do it, so they're actually going to do it.
Yeah.
So our commercial is for the Working Genius Assessment. Go ahead and give it to people for graduation. We want to thank Clear Channel. They're a great company. If you ever need to do advertising, and if you see one of our ads in an airport, clip a picture of it, send it to us, and it would be great. Okay. Thanks for talking to us, everybody, today about understanding discernment. We'll look forward to talking to you next time on the Working Genius Podcast. God bless.